Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 26, 2020. Faith above reason requires a special mind. Faith above reason requires a special mind. The fact is that the people of this world, you and I, each one of us, are built from egoism, the desire to receive, within which we feel all of reality. We feel only that which can bring us pleasure or vice versa, cause us suffering, that is, plus or minus relative to our egoistic desire to live pleasant lives. But here, a special approach is required of us. I do not want to feel what is pleasant or unpleasant to me, so I try to break free from this dependence, rise above it, and assess reality in terms of what is good or bad for others. In this way, I will begin to see what is outside of me. Otherwise, I do not see anything. The whole world for me is only what determines my own egoistic benefit. I limit myself with this. I do not go beyond being an animal that thinks only of its own stomach, or a small, naive child who understands only his own pleasure and does not take others into account. Then, the child grows and seems to begin to take care of others, to see and understand the world more clearly. But, in fact, we do not see the world, we simply expand the field of our interests more and more, and can evaluate what will be in our favor and what will harm us. The sensor with which we perceive reality is created from a single desire to receive. We must realize this. We live within our egoistic desire, and this is called the creation of this world. In fact, there is no this world, the future world, or the upper worlds. There is only one reality that depends solely on our perception, on our attitude toward what is happening. There are some phenomena in the world that we do not feel at all because our perception is determined only by what is good or bad for us. We just do not notice anything else. If the signal is not picked up by my egoistic sensor, the desire to receive, either as positive or negative, then I do not feel it at all. Maybe something grand is happening around me, but I do not see anything. Kabbalists who have attained the upper world say that it is right here. We do not need to go somewhere else, to the other end of the universe, to another galaxy. All the worlds are already here, next to us. Only we do not feel them because we perceive reality only through one narrow parameter: I feel good or I feel bad. It turns out that all of reality is limited only by my primitive, egoistic interest. But how can I see more, feel more, understand more, and start to come out of my cocoon? This is possible if I rise above the feeling of I feel good or I feel bad and acquire the quality of bestowal, the quality that is called faith. Then I will feel everything not in relation to my own benefit, but in relation to others. If I begin to evaluate reality in this way, I will rise above myself and find a new sensory organ, faith above reason. This is how I enter a new, external perception of reality independent of my egoism. I will be able to feel what others feel outside of me, and, thus, my view will become relatively objective depending on how much I can separate myself from my own interests. I begin to see the objective reality that I was able to reveal, 125 spiritual degrees, 5 upper worlds. And I can then gradually develop this view until I am able to see everything that is outside of me. And what is outside of me is called the Creator or Bore, meaning come and see. Now, in my desire to receive, I see nothing, but I have the opportunity to attain the Creator, the reality that is outside of me. Then, I will understand where I really live, what nature is, and what is happening to me. Therefore, this technique is called Kabbalah, receiving, because it teaches how to get a sense of all this boundless reality. A person who has developed such feelings is called a Kabbalist because he perceives reality objectively, not distorted in his egoistic perception but as it really is. Even the very first exit from your egoism allows you to feel that the higher, spiritual reality exists. So, I begin to understand where I am, what I exist for, and why, as well as what process I must go through and what state I must achieve. Before that, we are completely blind, insensitive, and we have no way to look beyond our egoism. Only faith above reason can help us break free from it. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, April 30, 2020, concerning faith above reason. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what has the coronavirus taught you in your life? The coronavirus is teaching us all to recognize our global interdependence. Before the coronavirus, we were in a world of vicious egoistic competition, where the more we could exploit others, the more we could profit. Today, however, we all depend on each other, as any breach of the social distancing conditions set before us could mean another coronavirus victim. We have been given a mutual adversary in the coronavirus, and we need to exercise our mutual consideration and responsibility in order to beat it. However, our true rival is much deeper than the coronavirus. As much as the coronavirus is a nearly invisible particle that has brought about much death, sickness and has overturned our socio-economic infrastructures, there is a much more cunning and complex enemy that has no physical form at all. Our egoistic human nature. The human ego, which is the desire for self-benefit at the expense of others, innately pits us up against each other, making each person constantly toil for his or her superiority over others. Any success we have in such a constant struggle is short-lived, as if we are all in a game of tug and war and one of us momentarily manages to pull stronger than the others, before losing that grip and once again becoming pulled along by everyone else. Ultimately, such a struggle leads to us all falling down, as the coronavirus swiftly showed us. How, then, is it possible to defeat an attitude that is embedded in our very nature since birth? It is possible firstly by paying more attention to how it acts to our detriment even though it seemingly serves to benefit us, and secondly, it is possible to overcome our egoistic nature by reprioritizing our values. Instead of appreciating successful, wealthy and powerful individuals as we did at least until the onset of the coronavirus, if we instead appreciate positive human connection, and acts that serve to increase love, care and unity in society, then such a surrounding positive social influence would give us the necessary tools to shift our mindset. From egoistic use of others for self-benefit, to altruistic use of oneself in order to benefit others. The coronavirus has taught us that humanity can quickly reach a common ground when conditions call for it. Using this example, we can take further steps to more and more unification out of our own free choice. In other words, instead of waiting for nature to inflict us with more suffering in order to unite us once again, we can take our unity into our own hands, and actively seek how we can place the benefit of others over self-benefit in our day-to-day and moment-to-moment interactions. Photo by Nick Bolton on Unsplash. Michael Leitman, on Quora, if everything is here for a reason, what does coronavirus teach us about? The coronavirus came to teach us about how much we depend on each other, and thus, how we need to take more responsibility in our attitudes to each other. If we look at major events in world history, including the world wars and past pandemics, even they did not involve the entirety of humanity to the extent that the coronavirus has. We would thus be wise to learn a lesson in global interdependence from the coronavirus, and step up our game to think and act more responsibly and considerately of each other, treating each other as members of a single human family, with each person holding equal importance. While we normally consider only our own health, the coronavirus forced us to pay attention to the health of others around us by directly connecting our health to theirs. We were cornered into upholding a list of conditions in order to not infect others, maintaining personal hygiene, washing hands regularly, staying at home during the lockdown, wearing masks and sustaining a distance of 2 meters when in public, and as the economy reopens, the period of distancing continues making us think about the health of others, since other people's good health ensures our good health, and vice versa. This is one clear way how the coronavirus has taught us a lesson in interdependence. The question then becomes, how much do we apply this lesson to our lives? From herein, will we conduct ourselves in such a way where society's benefit leads our thought processes, or will we resort to prioritizing self-benefit without considering the effect on others, as per our pre-coronavirus habits? Considering others before we consider ourselves runs against our egoistic human nature, which constantly places ourselves before others. Yet, as hard as it is for us to think about benefiting others, the coronavirus has shown us how nature can compel us to do so whether we like it or not. Nature, however, has no intention of making us suffer. On the contrary, there is immense fulfillment and enjoyment dwelling in nature, which it wants us to discover. It wants us to develop into all-seeing, all-knowing and all-feeling creatures, and it can do so by elevating us above our self-aimed thoughts and desires. How? It is by giving us situations where we are forced to better connect in order to survive. Such pressures are akin to birth contractions. As a baby gets pressured to exit its comfortable but narrow world in the womb and enter a new world outside, we too get pressured by events such as the coronavirus to exit our comfortable but narrow egoistic perceptions of the world, and enter a new perception of our interdependence. Moreover, as the baby did not know that its life in the womb was tiny, dark and constrained, we too fail to see how living solely according to the ego's demands, self-benefit at the expense of others, is a tiny, dark and constrained world in comparison to the world we can discover when we shift our main focus onto benefiting others. As much as we appreciate and want to have love, peace, truth, happiness, confidence, support, encouragement and care in our lives, we fail to see how such qualities are achievable at a much greater scale when mutual responsibility and consideration becomes a leading value throughout society. When everyone aims at benefiting everyone, and when we encourage contributing to society as a principal marker of success, instead of increasing our wealth at any cost, then we will experience a harmonious life, balanced with nature, and will feel a new sense of calm spread throughout society, fulfilling us all. I thus hope that we do take away the lesson of needing to be more responsible and considerate of others, which the coronavirus came to teach us. We all have a special role in contributing to a society that can make our lives great, and until we take some strides in that direction of our own accord, nature will send us reminders through the likes of many such problems, pandemics among them. Above photo by Engineer Curtin and Splash. My new article on LinkedIn: The Truth About Climate Change. Scientists keep warning about the changing climate, that there is global warming, so we must do A and B and C in order to reverse it. Global warming in itself is neither bad nor good. Nature has no standard that it needs to follow. It is in constant balance. At times, that balance is achieved at a warmer temperature, and at times it is achieved at a cooler temperature, but thinking that we can manipulate it to suit our whims is nothing but hubris. Like nature, we should not try to change people, but only how they interact with one another. If we want to feel good in the surrounding nature, we must adapt ourselves to it, and not the other way around. Nature is integral and balanced. All things evolve according to their nature and establish a balanced system of relationships among them that enables them to thrive. We should not interfere with nature. If we try to tilt it according to our quirks, it will tilt us back against our will through its countless manners of pushback against humanity. The only place where we can and should work is with each other. Like nature, we should not try to change people, but only how they interact with one another. Currently, we use our strengths to control and manipulate others, and try to hide our weaknesses so others don't exploit us. If, instead, we spent our energy on forming supportive and collaborative connections among us, we would benefit from everyone's strengths instead of fearing them, and they would benefit from ours, instead of fearing and alienating us. When we change our attitude to one another, We will find that nature, too, has changed its attitude toward us, since we will be in the same balance among each other as are all the elements of nature. Then, no climate change, earthquake, plague, or flood will threaten us, since nature and humanity will be in sync. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what are some cool examples of two kinds of people? There are fundamentally two kinds of people in our world, egoists and altruists. Egoists do everything out of a calculation for personal benefit, and need to see justifiable compensation, like more money or an improved social status, for any act they do to benefit others. Altruists willingly concede of themselves and of personal compensation in order to benefit others. Egoism is human nature. It exists in every single person. Altruism, on the other hand, runs against human nature. However, there are a minority in the world, altruists, who are an exception to society's majority of egoists. Altruists constitute up to 10% of human society. Ultimately, however, we are developing to a state where we are realizing that an altruistic modus operandi in society as a whole will be able to alleviate the increasing problems we see in our egoistic consumerist society. The problem with making altruism a social norm is that the majority of egoists would feel a lack of compensation to be altruistic. It would be like a turning on a machine without any fuel. Our current fuel to work in our egoistic consumerist society is reward and punishment. In an ideal egoistic consumerist setup, working more means reaping more rewards, which means more wealth, respect, power and knowledge, and working less means receiving the punishment of being unable to fulfill those desires. However, the more we develop in an egoistic consumerist society, the harder we find it becomes to fulfill ourselves. Various crises will eventually bring us to a sensation of helplessness, that we can no longer find fulfillment by prioritizing self-benefit over benefiting others. We will then become readier to change our way of life and become more altruistic. However, we will still require fuel for our altruistic society to function. And what is altruistic fuel? It is when giving, improving others' lives and positive contributions to others become society's leading values. Developing an altruistic society starts by rewarding and appreciating acts of positive social contribution, and gradually, after a period of doing so, we would start appreciating altruistic values in and of themselves. Kabbalistic terminology, Atzmuto. Atzmuto is the highest root, which is not directly related to us. That is, it is the Creator Himself existing independently from the creation. In this form, we cannot feel Him. In other words, Atzmuto is a program that does not relate to creation. We simply indicate that such a state exists, but it is out of reach for us. We cannot feel Him. The program that relates to us is called the Creator or Havaya. Question: might it be that the Creator has some other plans for some other creations, but we do not know? Answer: this does not apply to us. Question: can this be compared with the fact that in our world, a child understands a certain kind of father's attitude toward him, but he does not know what his father is doing, what his plans are, etc.? Answer: yes, you could say that. But we do not engage in such thoughts and speculations because they still have no basis. We have no real desire for this nor any opportunities to explore this. From Kab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, June 17, 2019. Envy is a tremendous force. I need a society that I will envy because thanks to this envy I can rise to its level. If I know how to use envy correctly, then I will attract the upper light with its help and it will raise me to the stage of the friends. This is a real miracle. Otherwise, how could our children, who were born helpless babies, grow up and master all our knowledge and still surpass us, become smarter than us and better understand the affairs of this world. It is due to the fact that they envied us, looked at us and tried to imitate everything we do, and therefore, they became smart and understand even more than we do. Therefore, if we look at our friends and see that they are greater than us, then we will certainly grow up. So, I need a society as large as possible that consists of people that are great in my eyes, so I consider myself the smallest of all. Then I'm guaranteed advancement. And I will advance not only in terms of the mind, but will also develop sensations that I do not have yet. And all due to envy. If I see the greatness of a friend and in my egoism I want him to fall, this envy is destructive. But if I want to become like him and even bigger, then because of such envy I want to grow toward the Creator. I must develop jealousy of every friend, and I can do it even with a complete beginner. After all, everyone has their own root of their soul. I look at him and see that he is special, that he is closer to the Creator. I do not compare our personal distances with the Creator. But from his point, he will certainly be closer to the Creator than I am because I don't have his point at all. Therefore, I have reason to envy absolutely everyone. There is a light in the friend that can never be in me, and this is the basis for envy. When can I turn this envy into unity and love? Only at the end of correction, where all will unite into one soul. But until then, I will look at a friend and see what is in him that is not in me and cannot be. Only at the end of correction, when we connect, will I receive this from merging with him. There is always the opportunity to envy. I just need to take a closer look and I will see that others are closer to the Creator than I am. They are more connected with each other, but I seem to fall out of their circle, and this torments me. It seems to me that they want to get rid of a loser like me who cannot connect with anyone. They reveal to me how much my heart does not want unity. Envy is a tremendous force, even stronger than love. Envy is a means of rising from step to step every time. Therefore, it is said that the envy of those counting multiplies wisdom, that is, those who calculate at what level they are, moving up the steps of wisdom, Hochma. The upper light is the light of Hochma, wisdom, and overcoming envy, they develop the light of Hasidim in themselves. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, May 20, 2020, Writings of Rabash, concerning above reason. The Spiritual Role of Women, Part 2. The Combination of Masculine and Feminine Principles. Rabash, Dargit HaSulam, Item 274, specifically through a man and a woman. A newborn is born specifically through a man and a woman. From a male alone or from a female alone, there cannot be offspring. In ethics, the male is considered the power of bestowal, and the female is the power of reception. Offspring are good deeds, in which there is the breath of life. The masculine principle is an intention for the sake of bestowal, and the feminine principle is the desire to receive. If they are interconnected, then their correct combination occurs. And it turns out that when the desire to receive and above it the intention to bestow interact, they can reveal the Creator within themselves. That is, produce the best, highest action that is subject to creation in our world. No man and no woman can do this separately. Only in the right combination of the male giving and the female receiving properties can they realize receiving for the sake of bestowal, that is, make themselves like the Creator. Otherwise, none of them is perfect. Question: what is the rule of the correct combination of female and male principles? Answer: if we are talking about Kabbalah, then according to this teaching, male and female principles are in each of us. A person must work so that his or her desire to receive is completely under the intention of giving, for the sake of bestowal. And then you get the right interaction. We must understand that we are not talking about a woman and a man, but about the correct interaction of these principles in a person. And on the other hand, if we are talking about the family, about the right relationship between a man and a woman, then we are talking about their clear understanding of their properties when the properties of a woman and the properties of a man are combined in such a way that they really give spiritual fruit. Each time they give birth to the next state, and this is called the birth of their child. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 8, 2020. Nature's only problem. Question: what will the new society be like in this era of change? What should we do? Answer: study Kabbalah and explore what the initial stages of the new society are. Accept them, adapt to them, reveal them in our world, and explain them to others. Question: did you expect that this would happen so quickly and that we would be placed face to face with nature? Answer: not so suddenly. Remark: nature suddenly wants us to make a choice now. My response: it is just that nature is revealed in such a manner. There is no malicious intent. Question: does Kabbalah know how to find a cure for the coronavirus? Answer: the only problem of nature is disconnection, division, opposition. Therefore, the only cure for this is the unification of all its parts. This is the cure for the coronavirus. Thus, no matter where you turn, you will find an answer to the question and its verification. Whatever you are being offered, check if your decision leads people to summarize everything, connect, then it is a cure. If not, then it is evil and damage. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 12, 2020. The Essence and the Root of Unity, Part 9. Why change your natural egoism? Question: it is said that we humans look at the world through the prism of our egoism. Could you give an example of this? Answer: I cannot give an example because everything I see in the world, I see through my feelings, how pleasant or unpleasant it is for me. Otherwise, I cannot see anything. I would not see anything around me if I did not subconsciously, instantly, assess how close or far it is from me, from my egoism, from my desire for comfort and various sensations. Question: why change it if nature created us this way? Answer: this is our natural development. The desire to enjoy is imprinted in us, it is our nature. So if I evaluate something, see something, hear something, and feel something, it is only in this desire. Question: wouldn't it turn out that if we change all this, it would be against nature, the Creator? Answer: it will be against our current nature, but it will take us to the next degree. We will evaluate everything not as it is seen in our eyes, but as it is seen in the eyes of the next, higher degree. Then we will climb it. From Cab TV's Systematic Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, March 24, 2019. Is there life after death? Question: is there life after death? Answer: it is precisely after death that there is life. And until we free ourselves from our egoism, there is no life. We feel our existence inside the ego, and it is petty, very mean, and very limited. As soon as we get rid of egoism, even with the help of the death of our physical body, despite the fact that this is a very small redemption and a very small level of ascent, it still brings us liberation from the first egoistic level. We are beginning to understand that, in fact, nature and the world exist in a different dimension, above egoism. Question: people living in their circle do not have time to think about anything more than that because they need to feed themselves and their families. Therefore, probably, egoism eats up humanity nowadays. How can we get out of this little circle? Answer: this must be explained, this must be taught. It is for this purpose that I created a Kabbalah Academy that operates in practically all languages of the world, on all continents, and includes several million students. We conduct lessons and lectures, meet each other, and organize international conferences and other events. But the current virus, this last system of perception of nature, which is now gradually entering our consciousness, pushes a person to realize where he lives, why he exists. And here he has no way out. In either the good or the evil way, we will have to understand the full picture of integral nature and how to exist in it. We must get to the right integral interaction with it. We ourselves must become integral. From CAB TV's Meetings with Kabbalah, Victoria Bonia, March 29, 2020. Where is correction leading us? Question: how and what for are you gathering to correct yourselves? Answer: when I say we, I mean many people who make up the Benny Baruch World Group. Our organization is committed to showing people how much our egoism destroys them and everything around them. If we correct our egoism, we will rise above ourselves and begin to feel the next world, the upper one, eternal and perfect. This is a special world where we will be able to exist if we just move from egoistic relationships to altruistic ones. Nature is urging us to do this. The wisdom of Kabbalah explains how to do that even before we are pushed by all sorts of viruses. We can make this transition easy, comfortable, and pleasant. This is why we were given the wisdom of Kabbalah. Let's implement it and reach the next level of human development. We should come to it anyway. So far, we are only taking the bad path, but it is possible to go by the good one. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 22, 2020. What is a descent in spirituality? Question: what is a descent in spirituality and in relation to what do we descend or ascend? Answer: the purpose of creation is to achieve a full revelation of the Creator, and such revelation of the Creator is achieved to the extent that our properties are similar to His properties. Therefore, an ascent refers to equalizing with Him in His properties or ascending to Him to a greater extent than before. A descent refers to our distancing from Him. The Creator is the property of absolute bestowal and love. If we get closer to Him, that is, if we acquire this property, then we ascend to Him as if climbing a mountain. However, if additional egoism arises within us, which we have not yet covered with bestowal and love, then under its influence, we descend down the mountain. Question: it is like inhaling and exhaling. Before I rise, I must always fall. It turns out that a new layer of egoism is revealed. Is this what we call a descent? Answer: yes. Although, generally speaking, this is not a descent. In Kabbalah, this is called rising within the left line because you cannot ascend without a new layer of egoism. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 27, 2019. When there is no strength to go by faith above reason. Question: if I see that I have no strength to go by faith above reason, what should I do? Answer: ask to get the strength. Remark: yes, but the answer does not always come. This is also a system, after all. My comment: it doesn't matter. You should ask all the time. Question: let's discuss a specific situation. A friend brings me an envelope in which I see $1 instead of a $1,000. What should I do? Ask him to give me $999 back? Or what? Answer: that is your business. Question: it is clear that if I ask the Creator and get the strength to go by faith above reason, then everything is according to plan. And if not? Answer: nothing will happen until you receive an answer from the Creator. Question: so, everything works this way. I cannot accept this until the Creator gives me the strength. Answer: and who has given you $1 back? Question: if there is none else besides Him, then the Creator. In principle, it turns out that this is a game with the Creator, is it not? But you still have to see it? Answer: if you see it, this whole effect disappears. To see means already within reason and not by faith above reason. Question: indeed, This is already faith within reason. Does it mean that I do not want to see it on purpose? Answer, of course. Remark, yes, but in fact, we don't do such exercises. My comment, everyone does, to the extent that it is given to him from above. Question, it is very difficult to find during the day that you have such opportunities. I took a concrete example, which is more or less clear. But when you are in a lesson, there are no such conditions there. After the lesson, you go to work. Where can we find such exercises? Answer, dissemination is very important. If a person is engaged in the dissemination of this knowledge at any level, then it covers his personal spiritual work. The Creator will take care of it. The main thing is that a person spreads the name of the Creator in the world, a real approach to him. Question, how does this relate to my spiritual condition? Let's say, in a couple of hours I have to give a lecture. Of course, I will tell the students who the Creator is, the history of the development of the desires, etc. Answer, if you tell them with all your heart to spread the name of the Creator throughout the world, then it covers all your personal spiritual work. The Creator will take care of it. You will take care of him, and he will take care of you. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 1, 2019. Kabbalistic terminology, man, muxim. Men is an acronym for menachvin, female waters. A woman in Kabbalah is always associated with desire, a man with bestowal. A woman is a desire to receive, a man is a desire to give. Therefore, female waters means the rise of desire from the bottom up to the Creator. Moreover, they encourage the Creator to begin creation, correction, and fulfillment of these desires. In this case, requests from the bottom up are called prayer or man. Question, is that the man, manna, mentioned in the desert? Answer, this is the man, manna, which the Torah says that every morning people picked up and fed on it. Question, very often in Kabbalah the term muxim, barrier, is used. What does it mean? Answer, muxim is a state that a person must go through along the path from the sensation of only our world to the sensation of the upper world. In other words, this is the borderline between ours and the spiritual world, a kind of psychological barrier. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, June 17, 2019. We haven't lived, but only played in life. Before the coronavirus, it was usual to travel and go to restaurants and shopping centers. It gave satisfaction, filled our lives with meaning. But the coronavirus changed all this. What will a person receive fulfillment from in the new world that we are entering? We are like children who suddenly grew up. While children are small, they are led to walk, play in the playgrounds, and ride on carousels. But then children grow up and must begin to learn. And when they become adults, they must get a profession and work, and take on different responsibilities. Life is not a kindergarten. And although we were fine in childhood and would like to return there, this is no longer suitable for us. Would you agree to go back to kindergarten and play the like a child? Humanity is now undergoing a special stage of growing up, which affects men, women, and children, and this is not easy for us. We will have to realize that we need to relate to life differently. I remember how difficult it was for me when carefree childhood ended and my parents, who had spoiled me before, suddenly began to demand from me, force me to study and take care of myself. I could not understand why such a change suddenly occurred. It was difficult for me to survive this until I realized that life is divided into halves. In the first half, you are a child, and father and mother take care of everything. And in the second half of your life, you become an adult and you must take care of yourself and your father and mother can no longer do everything for you. And this is what is happening with humanity that was previously spoiled by nature. But now we have to become adults. And this maturity is not about opening more businesses, traveling the world, sitting in restaurants and bars, like it was before the virus, that is, about enjoying life. We have already finished this period and from now on, nature will demand from us as adults. And as adults, we must know why we live, what is the purpose of life, and where it leads us. We can no longer be carefree children. We must open our eyes and see that we have a serious life ahead of us that requires we undertake a serious attitude. We must make ourselves new people living in a new world. And this world is already appearing before us, only we do not want to notice it, but still we play as if in a kindergarten. In the new world, we will receive fulfillment only from understanding the meaning of life. In the meantime, we were just amusing ourselves like little children with toys and balls, building castles in the sandbox and destroying them, playing war with each other. And suddenly a new stage has come where we need a serious attitude to life. Until now, we haven't lived, we have only played in life. We built ourselves an artificial world and played inside the sphere we created. If someone looked at the Earth from space, they would not understand what people were doing, why they were fussing so much, what is the use of it. You need to learn how to live in a new way. I also once wanted to continue to live like a child and for my parents to take care of me. But they did not agree and could not do this. They realized I had already grown up. Therefore, they gradually moved away from me, reducing their attention and care. They could help in some way from afar, but each time less and less, and therefore, I was forced to grow up. So we now need to understand how to improve our lives and in what form we need to live, what goals to achieve, in order to stop playing in various far-fetched affairs and to begin building a life that makes sense from the point of view of nature. To do this, you need to discover nature and understand what is happening to us and what needs to be done to be adults according to the program laid down in nature, which we have not yet touched. To live means to understand, feel, and comprehend its essence and purpose, and while still in this world, to taste the higher, cosmic meaning of life, encompassing the entire universe, the entirety of nature. We see that in nature everything has a meaning, a goal, and only our own life seemingly passes aimlessly. This is our work, to reveal the meaning of life, its essence and purpose, and begin to realize it. This is the task that nature poses before us. From CAB TV's The World, March 12, 2020.